Well, we've learned from day one with the star witnesses for the Democrats. Well, we've learned nothing, frankly. Nothing new. We've got two career diplomats here that have never spoken to the president, never met the president. We're not on the phone call on July 25th. And I hear our new star witness now is going to be somebody that eavesdropped on a phone call on July 26th of Sondland and says he heard the president talking to Sondland about investigations, but was eavesdropping. And, of course, how would you have a complete understanding of that conversation? Jim Jordan, the designated hitter for the Republicans yesterday, hitting it out of the park, saying you didn't talk to him. You didn't listen to the conversation. There were many more conversations you never even had discussions about that you weren't party to. Stephen Groves joining us, special assistant to the president and deputy press secretary at the White House. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Good morning.
I mean, is that it? I mean, if that's your big gun, if that's your star witness, first of all, it's a very narrow impeachment attempt anyway, politically motivated, as we well know. But, I mean, if that's it, am I missing something?
The only thing you're missing is that they were star witnesses, but they were star witnesses for the Republican side of the aisle because I agree that these were, you know, credible career diplomats who had a long record of public service. But what mattered was what they knew and what they didn't know. And they didn't know anything about any of these transactions because they could only testify to what other people had told them. And that's hearsay evidence, which is inherently unreliable.
Wait a second. Hold on, because I heard Congressman Quigley from Illinois tell me that hearsay evidence is better than direct evidence. I mean, I heard it right there. How can he be wrong?
I don't know. You know, if I would have tried that when I was a trial litigator back in the attorney general's office or in private practice, I would have been laughed out of a courtroom if not disbarred for saying something so stupid. And then particularly when you're trying to overturn the only nationwide election that we have in this country based on inherently unreliable evidence like hearsay evidence, it's particularly silly to then go out like Mr. Quigley did and said hearsay evidence is the best evidence that you can possibly have.
Yeah, here's the problem. Here's the problem. And I think the biggest, hottest ticket in town is fast becoming one of those tickets that Nancy Pelosi will grant to people like Alyssa Slotkin, my member of Congress, who is a freshman Democrat in a district won by Donald Trump by 7 points, one of many like that around the country. And there are going to be these golden tickets, if you will, to be able to vote no on impeachment. I mean, seriously, that'll be a fight for those tickets to vote no so Nancy Pelosi can still have her 218 votes to get the impeachment, which I still think will happen. But there will be a certain group of Democrats.
She'll have a couple more tickets than Willy Wonka had to hand out.
Exactly. Exactly right.
She'll have a couple of dozen, but I tell you what, there's going to be a line outside of her office because if this was the grand kickoff to the impeachment effort by Pelosi and Schiff, I don't see how it gets any better from here.
There's a reckoning coming. But I did appreciate Mitch McConnell yesterday saying, listen, this is an impeachment, very serious thing. And I think, Stephen, you and I would agree. Impeachment is a serious thing. It's a serious matter in politics and so forth. And Mitch McConnell says, no, I'm not just going to, you know, rush through it or blow it off, if you will. I'm going to take my time. And he got rid of the idea of a quick dismissal. And I think he should take his time. I think he should be very slow and meticulous and work through all the facts and every word and every memo that's been released in every transcript, maybe 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, 6 or 8 weeks later, he can finally come to a vote on it. And I'm sure Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and the rest that are running for president will really appreciate Mitch McConnell's attention to detail in this matter, don't you?
I think that, you know, they will take their roles very, very seriously, you know, very grave matter. And what I really need to look into to be able to fully comment on what you're getting at is I'm pretty sure that while that impeachment trial is going on in the Senate,
right,
that the rules prohibit or the norms prohibit senators going out to the microphones after the day of work and listening to evidence to go on and tell the media about their impressions. So So on top of being kept off the trail, I think they're going to be kept away from, like, rushing out to the microphones as Schiff and Pelosi are wont to do after everything. You know?
So a gag order on top of all of that, Steve. I mean, this is getting more fun. You could just see their heads exploding. Because you know, if Mitch McConnell says, you know what, let's just take our time. Let's go back through this word by word. And the other thing that Mitch McConnell can do is he can obviously call.
Let the president's witnesses be
certainly
part of it. Allow the president's counsel to participate. Give the due process that Pelosi and Schiff have completely denied the president of in their impeachment sham in the House.
You mean Sixth Amendment protections are important? Yeah.
Some ability to be heard and participate. You know, Clinton was allowed to call 14 witnesses during his impeachment in the House, and his personal attorney was allowed to cross-examine Ken Starr for an hour. We don't see any of that. And although the Republican members, I thought, did an excellent job in their questions to the two gentlemen yesterday, there's no substitute for having an attorney who is laser focused on representing his client, the president, when doing cross examinations of witnesses.
Yeah, so what we learned, I think, Stephen,
been complete.
Bill Taylor and George Kent were not happy. Still, probably aren't happy with the Ukrainian foreign policy. And my response to that is, and so what? It's not your job. Apparently, people have forgotten their civics class and U.S. government class in high school. The president of the United States sets foreign policy, does he not?
Yeah, that's been part of the undercurrent of these proceedings from the beginning, not just with the two gentlemen yesterday, who I'm sure have the best of intentions, but also for people like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, these people who substitute the interagency process or speak of U.S. foreign policy as an abstract rather than the one person who was elected and therefore empowered by the Constitution to dictate U.S. foreign policy, including turning it on a dime if he chooses to.
Well,
and
a couple of other things.
Person, it's the president.
Right, exactly right. But the other problem that I've come to light here in the last few days, if Nikki Haley is to be believed, and I believe she is, I think she's one of the best appointments this president made, Rex Tillerson, John Kelly, and others were trying to undermine this president at the highest level. But hold that thought for a second, because I want to get one more question in here on something else.
Real quick, as Nikki Haley's former chief of staff at the UN, I can assure you that she is extremely truthful and direct person.
Exactly.
And if she's writing it and saying it and putting it on record, you can take it to the bank.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I took it, and I appreciate you pointing that out, Stephen, that you know her very, very well. And we're looking to have her on the program here, and we will be with the new book that she has out. But I've got about 30 seconds now, but Bill Barr says the Michael Horowitz report is imminent now. Could drop as soon as today, potentially. Imminent means any moment. 30 seconds, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, could be a big bombshell. Could be not much. Could be somewhere in between. You know, these Horowitz reports, he's notoriously thorough. His reports are thick and well documented, so I want to.
We'll see what happens
until I see his conclusion.
Gotta leave it right there.
Like,
Stephen Groves, greatly appreciate it. Special assistant to the president, deputy press secretary at the White House. Thank you as always.
Thank you so much.
What's impressive about Pioneer's product development? I'm inside one of the server rooms in Johnston, Iowa. Pioneer's largest R&D center. They keep it cold in here to cool off all the computers. There are racks and racks of servers, lots of blinking lights, and that low hum is coming from the 125 billion data points that Pioneer corn and soybean scientists crunch every year. That enormous computing power, that helps Pioneer narrow down the hundreds of thousands of new genetic lines to the less than 100th of 1% of seeds that eventually make it into a Pioneer bag. The server room, one of the places that makes Pioneer, Pioneer. You'll hear more from me later. For now, let your local Pioneer sales representative hear from you.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom. But a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me.
Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.